On Sunday morning, the Lord's been directing me to share with you about how to believe God. How to believe God. And it's sometimes not enough just to say that you believe God. I think that maybe we use that phrase, that I believe, since we're supposed to be believers, then we just kind of throw that, phrase around, that word around all the time. This is what I believe. I believe this. I believe that. But just kind of like I illustrated on Sunday morning, with Ryan, let him hold that bottle of water on his head, and he was okay. He really believed that I would, as long as I went up to him and just knocked it off, he was fine, didn't flinch. But when I took another bottle of water and then started to throw it at him, what he believed wasn't really something he was willing to act on. Does that make sense? It was like, I don't know that I believe it that much. I can say it, but I don't know that I believe it that much. Well, what we want when it comes to the things of God is that our believing becomes action. It becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of what we do. It becomes part of our lifestyle. You know, it's really a lifestyle of believing that we've been talking about. But I want to share with you tonight a little something different to kind of add to that. And so those on Sunday morning, they're just going to have to miss out, you know, on this tonight. So we're going to give you just kind of another little nugget that will help you. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy. And let's see, which scripture is it? I may have to look it up. Paul made a powerful statement. As he was talking to Timothy, well, this is what he said. I just looked at it just a few minutes ago. Paul definitely believed things when it came to the Word of God and when it came to God himself. But his level of relationship with God, it went past believing. He says, I know in whom I have believed. I just need to look that up because you'll see. Yeah, that's it. 1:12. Thank you, Selena. For the which cause, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, I think this is a very powerful verse. He said, for I am not ashamed. In other words, I may be going through some things, whatever it is. I am not ashamed. For I know. Somebody say, I know. Whom I have believed. In other words, there's this process. There's this process. It happens to us in life all the time. When I taught Olivia to ride a bicycle, I told her, listen, just trust me and you're going to be able to ride the bicycle. Now, being as trusting as she was, she believed me. And thank God that she did. Maybe being that she's my oldest child, my firstborn, I didn't know what I was doing in teaching her how to ride a bicycle, but she didn't know that. I didn't tell her. I didn't give her that information. But she trusted and believed that what Dad said, I mean, he was going to do. But now there came a point that she had to act on what she believed. She had to get on that bicycle, and she had to trust me to let her go, to teach her. And then as she did it more and more, it became, it got to the point that it wasn't that she believed it. Now she just knew how to ride a bicycle. We know how to do things. We start out believing that we can, but then we get to a place of knowing how to do certain things. Does that make sense? Same thing happens with music. You can learn music. You can learn how to play it. But there comes a point in music, if you do it enough, then it becomes knowing. And then music now becomes an expression of praise, an expression of who you are. And it's not that you're having to think about what it is that you're playing. Now, if we want to just get stuck at believing what God has said, then we're not really going to the place that God wants us to be. Paul started out believing. Now, notice this about him. I love this. Paul, what was his first experience with Jesus? What was his first experience? Was it one of love and compassion and mercy? No. The first thing that happened to him when he experienced Jesus was he became blind. As he's going to Damascus, as he's going to try to put more Christians in jail, when his name was Saul, what happened was Jesus showed up, light shone all around, and he became blind and he couldn't see anything. And Jesus said, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not words that you want to hear from Jesus. So maybe there was a little fear. And he's like, man, I need to figure out who this is. And he said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. Now, because of Jesus's grace and mercy, he got healed. But I'm going to submit to you that Paul, to begin with, did not have a revelation of grace and of the love of God. I would submit to you that his response to Jesus was based on the experience that he just had. And it wasn't one of I'm feeling the love of God at this moment. But he believed in Jesus. This prophet that he was persecuting, that he was throwing Christians in jail. He did not believe that he was the Son of God. But after that experience, he believed. But then for 3 years, he set himself apart. And the gospel that we get from Paul in Romans, in Corinthians, in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all of those things, the gospel that we get, he said, I did not receive this through man. All the gospel of grace, the gospel of love, all of that we get from Paul, he said, I received directly from Jesus Christ. He did not even go to the disciples to talk to them. See, if it was me, something like that happened, I'm wanting to go to the ones that had walked with him for 3 years. Not Paul. Paul developed a relationship with Jesus, and what happened is his revelation came out of him knowing him and not just out of him believing him. Turn with me to, well, hold your finger there and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 7. Talking about God, he made known his ways unto Moses. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. He made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they saw the miracles. They saw the things that God did. But Moses understood not just the acts of God, but he understood the ways of God. I'm not interested in talking about signs and wonders and healings and miracles and all those things that we know that God has ordained for the church to do just so that we can see the acts of God and signs and wonders. What I'm interested in is knowing my God, is knowing Jesus, is getting to that place of relationship and hearing and knowing the voice of God so that I can just act on it and know that I'm in his perfect will every day. It's in that place of knowing that real confidence and boldness comes. Amen. See, I think that if some of the children of Israel would have been interested in knowing the ways of God, then they would have found it easier to stop rebelling, to stop complaining, stop murmuring, all of those things, because they would have been more in line with his ways and would have wanted their ways to line them up instead of just looking to him for his acts. Amen. A number of years ago, somebody invited me to a Bible study at their church. And so there was maybe a little less, probably about half this size. And I just, I was just going to sit back and be real nice and not say anything. This was a church that was very much unlike our church. And so in the middle of it, as the pastor was going through some things, he said, "Why do you think that Paul operated in more power than the people that he wrote to, than the rest of the churches? Why is it that we see Paul having more manifestations of God in his life than we do from other people in the New Testament?" And he genuinely was asking the question. It wasn't like he was getting ready to give you the answer. Why is that? Well, there was somebody that said something. I don't remember what it was. And then they came up with something else. You know, they couldn't figure it out. So, thank you, honey. So anyway, after some silence, I decided I raised my hand. New guy, right? New guy that was here. And this is before I was even pastoring here or anything. And so he said, "Yeah." He said, so what do you think?" I said, "Well, this is the reason why Paul said, 'I know whom I have believed.'" I said, "I think that most people will say something and that they believe things about God, but they never get to the place that they know who their God is." And then I went on to say, Moses is a great example of that, because Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel only knew the acts of God. And so you find that those that know God, know his ways, those are the ones that become leaders. Those are the ones that walk in the power. He said, "That's good." Then somebody else raised his hand. He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's exactly what I was just about to say." Right. Okay. But that's exactly it. What is it that separates some Christians, some believers from another? Because for some, the gospel is Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday night, and the rest of the week, it's just a set of rules to live by. The gospel is not relationship to them. Turn with me over to John chapter 17. As you turn there, let me finish reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." Paul was persuaded that he, the person that he knows, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It didn't matter what he was going through. He was persuaded. Why? Because he knew something. He knew him. He spent time in prayer. He spent time with Jesus. He spent time with the Father. And so his relationship and his religion, if you will, got beyond just a form of rules and regulations and just law, and became a relationship that he was experiencing the voice of God, the power of God, learning the ways of God every day. Hallelujah. When you get to the place that you know your God like that, then this little stuff that goes on in the world, it will not affect you. Because you're in a place in the Spirit. John chapter 17. Hallelujah. Father, I give you praise. So in John chapter 17, Jesus is saying this final prayer. And and as he's praying for them, let me just back up to verse 6. Well, I tell you what, let's just read let's start at the beginning of the prayer. Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, and your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might what?
Know.
That they might what?
Know thee.
Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's where the life comes from. Let's look at a couple of more scriptures. 1 John. And in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3. How do I know that my believing has come to a place of knowing? I used to look at this scripture all wrong. How do I know that my place of believing has come to the place of knowing? That which I believe, now I know. Verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now, I used to look at this scripture. Well, let me tell you a little story that will illustrate how I used to look at this scripture. And this illustrates, the story is going to illustrate what the problem is in a lot of believers, in a lot of Christians' minds, in a lot of churches, okay? Jesus said over in John chapter 14, he said, he that loves me is the one that keeps my commands. So it's very much in line with this. And if you love me, then my Father will love you, and I will come, we will dwell with you, and I will manifest myself to you. I will make myself real. I will make myself clearly seen by you. And who doesn't want to see Jesus in their life? But surrounding that whole scripture in John is keeping his commandments. Let's just take a look at it. Because I believe that this is going to illustrate something for you that will cause a shift in your thinking. Just hold your finger here and let's go to John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, got that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then he starts talking about the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Amplified Bible reads it this way. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Now I read that. And I'm like, whoo, I love this. First of all, here's a promise that Jesus will reveal himself to me. But what's the condition? We always want to look at the conditions behind it. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now back here again in 1 John chapter 2, what does he say? Hereby, verse 3, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So for me, the criteria was very simple. So what I did is I decided that if I want to see Jesus, then I need to know what his commandments are. Okay, that makes logical sense, doesn't it? But the question is where do you get those commandments from? So what I did is I decided, well, let's take everything that he said, everything that's in red, and let me start finding out what his commandments really are. And I started going through Matthew, and I went through Mark. And as I'm writing down all the commandments, I was going to create this huge list. I'm going to compile it all. I'm going to get it exactly right. Somewhere around Luke, I lost interest and I stopped. I never finished that task. Oh, you know, I had a little Bible study going on. I mean, I was preaching and I was like, look, here's what we need to do. And what I'm going to do is try to compile it all, but I never did it. What was the problem? I took something that Jesus said and I tried to make law out of it. The New Testament, being a new covenant believer, wasn't to put us under law again. It was to take us out of law. And for me to say, okay, I need to get this list that I've got to go by, I was going to try to put myself right under the same old covenant that Jesus had redeemed me from. So what does it mean when he says, keep my commandments? Well, there's kind of two answers to this question. The first one is that Jesus really only gave us two commandments. The first commandment was to love God. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's really, on that hinges everything else. If you're loving God, and if you're loving people, the rest of it takes care of itself. That's answer number one. Answer number two is Galatians. In Galatians, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to chapter 5. Melanie, are you cold? This is wonderful. Now that we have all these air conditioners fixed, to see somebody put on a jacket because she's cold when we've been having to deal with the heat and the air conditioners and things, I think is great. I'm happy. I'm excited. Maybe it doesn't mean anything to y'all, but we've been praying and believing God for years to get these air conditioners fixed, and they're fixed. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. What was I trying to do? I was trying to get right back under law. Only do not use liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't serve it just because Jesus said do it. You do it because you love. See, love is always the motivating factor by what you do. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is Paul talking. And then he's talking about, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed one of another. This I say then. Look at this. Here's the second answer. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18. Because if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And then you find out, after he talks about the works of the flesh, what the fruit of you walking in the Spirit will produce. The fruit of the Spirit is, verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Wow. So how do I keep the commandments of God? I love and I walk in the Spirit. Because Jesus said, the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth. And as you walk in the Spirit, and as you learn to hear His voice, and as you obey what He says daily, and you know, that voice can come as you study the Word. That voice can come as you're praying. That voice can come as you're praying in the Spirit. Whatever it is, there are different ways that God can talk to you. But when you know that the Spirit of God has talked to you, you obey that, you walk in it, and then you get to a place. Now look at this. Hereby we know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, that we know Him when we keep His commandments. Now, there's a progression. As you obey what God tells you, this is why God has so put it on my heart that the people in this church must learn to hear the voice of God. We are in a day and an age that it's not enough for Christians to sit and to just listen and to be okay with that. You must know the voice of God on your own. Hallelujah. As you obey His voice every day, every day, what you're doing is you're building relationship. You're getting to where you know Him. You know Him. And then you get to the place that, like Paul, you say, I know whom I have believed. Isn't that awesome? One more scripture. Philippians. In Philippians, Paul is talking about his motivation. In verse 9 of chapter 3, see, y'all got to get in the Spirit. You'll know exactly where I'm going. No. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. He said, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Whew. Paul said, for me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wasn't content just to believe. Paul pressed in for more. Do you know that Moses wasn't content with just getting, you know, having an experience with God where he's giving him the law to write down? I mean, God is writing the law down with his very finger. He's on Mount Sinai in the presence, one of the only times in recorded history that God himself stepped foot into the earth. The first one, of course, being in the Garden of Eden. The whole mountain trembled when God stepped into this realm. And they even saw his feet. They saw the pavement. I mean, wherever he walked, the dust and everything got out of the way. It said it was pavement just like sapphire. That wasn't enough for Moses. Moses was bold. For us, we'd be coming to church the next day. Can you believe what we saw? It'd been one of like the most pivotal experiences in our entire life. And we would have been okay with it. Moses wasn't okay with it. Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me. I want more. I want more. We sing that song, I want more, I want more. Moses wanted more and would not leave God alone until God said, you can't see my face and live. But what I'll do is I'll put you up. And this is what God did. He put him up in kind of a cleft of the rock there. And as he walked by, he put his hand over Moses so he wouldn't see his face. But he allowed Moses to see him as he walked by. Moses could only handle the backside of the glory of God. And even with that, the time that he spent with God, his face shone with that glory, with that glory. Moses wanted that. Saints, I'm telling you, as you hear and obey the voice of God on a daily basis, what it's going to do in your life is it's going to create relationship with God. You're going to move to a place that you know God. You know his word. You know the voice of the Spirit. You've taken it past the point of knowledge, not just knowledge that's up here, but it becomes something that goes beyond here. The Bible talks about peace that passes all understanding. It talks about the love of Christ, the love of God that is beyond knowledge. Those are the places that a child of God should be walking in. Never accept less than that. Yes. Never accept less than that. Hallelujah. Don't be content just to believe. What do you think? What do you think? Why do you think Jesus spent all night praying? So that he could know. So that he could know. So that he could know. Come on, Derek, if you can play for a moment. What do you know? Sometimes it's what you believe versus what you know. For most of us, and for most Christians, what we know is forged out of our experience, forged out of our education. And so we're more comfortable with that. That's what we know. And we got to take what we believe concerning the things of God and get it to a place that we know our God. Now, look, if you're satisfied with going to church on Sunday and just getting some word to help you a little bit, then fine. And there's no condemnation. But there's a stirring in my heart that this generation will rise up and will, like Paul, say, I know in whom I have believed. You can even take some things concerning healing and believe it. But until you experience it and act on it, it will never get to a place that you've known it. I'm going to ask Jennifer to share a little experience that she's had. Come on. Yeah, we'll make it. Jennifer, you know, she's not the one that to come up here and talk. This may be the first time, maybe the second time, but I'd like for her to share something. Go ahead.
Well, how do I start? First of all, I want to thank Doug for getting up here and sharing a few weeks ago. Talking about testimonies, how they build you up. And I want to thank you so much for doing that, because it inspired me to believe God in some things. A few weeks ago, I had a brace on my wrist. And, it's kind of a funny story, but I'll just skip that. But my wrist popped. And when it popped, I've had it do that before, and then I would wear a brace for a few days, and it would, you know, just keeping it stabilized, it would be fine. But I had just put it on. It was on Sunday morning, and so I got to thinking about Doug, and I thought, you know, growing up with my mom, learning about faith and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was around 12, so I really got to see firsthand with her about how important words are and speaking to things. So you brought that to my remembrance about speaking. I knew it, I guess it wasn't here yet. So anyway, the brace was on Sunday, and we got home Sunday, you know, and spent all day at home, and I got ready to go to bed, and I thought, put it into practice. Believe it. I mean, I can sit there and say it until I'm blue in the face. If I don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Okay? I thought, I'm going to believe this. I believe it. So I decided, I'm taking this brace off. I don't need it. And so I choose to believe that it was the Spirit of the Lord impressing me to just make it move, my act of faith. Yours was finishing the lawn. Mine was sitting there making my wrist move. I did not care how it hurt or what was going on. I'm moving this. So I moved it. And within maybe 5 minutes, it was going further and further. And when I tell you this has happened before, it's very painful. Very, very painful.
Now, did you speak to it?
I did. I said, no, I speak to the pain and I command you to leave. I will move this wrist freely with no pain. Period. So, and I woke up the next morning completely healed. So it was awesome for me. And the other thing is that I have had an ongoing problem in my left heel. And I thought, why not? God heals a wrist. He can heal a foot. So I decided to put it into practice. I spoke to that and I believed. When I tell you, I have been dealing with a heel thing for a long, long time. And lo and behold, God did it again. But that's about it. I just, you know, speaking to it and telling it, believing it, and just do it. I mean.
Amen. Now, the neat thing about that is now, as a result of doing something and learning how to believe God and what our authority is that now she's got some experience to back that up. And now, the more that happens, then the more confidence and the more she knows things. You see, it becomes ingrained in you. This is why I'm telling you is that the things that we learn on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we have to take it out. We have to put it into practice. We have to obey what God has said. We have to walk in the Spirit. So thanks, Doug, for being, you know, for giving that testimony when you were afraid to stand up here in front of everybody and share what God has done and how he healed that calf that had detached. And everything's been fine since then, hasn't it? You know? And you don't know. You don't know what your testimony, what your experience will do for me, for Jennifer, for anybody else here. Well, you may think, well, it's just silly. No. It's never silly when God does something in your life. Amen. So would you stand with me, please? Father, we give you praise tonight. Lord, we thank you. Father, that there's a place that we can come to just know you. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that we may know you. And as we obey your voice every day, everything that you tell us to do, that we can truly say, we know you. We know you. We know you. We know you. I know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.